Alrighty, Sam, you want to pot that down and we'll get back to the business at hand. We've got John and Kathy and Ricky with us. Ricky, you seem like a pretty nice guy to me. It's the first time we've met and had any conversation. But you were going to tell us something and you were going to be extra special nice about it.
Well, I was going to try to be like nice in a certain way. You'll know what I mean. Let's just say, you know, there's a little blue pill out there on the market. Everybody probably knows what that does.
The Pfizer, you know, the one they call the Pfizer riser.
Yeah, the Pfizer riser. I love it. Well, I could tell you that that's an extra added benefit that I was not expecting.
Sorry, Kathy.
That wasn't me.
And I could tell you, I could tell you that I think I'll just leave it at that. That was an extra added benefit that I was definitely not expecting because it was like I felt like I was like 25 again. So, you know, and then I was thinking, well, how come this works like that? You know, and then I really started digesting it with my expertise, you know, as an acupuncturist, and I realized that, well, those issues have to do with, in Chinese medicine, supplementing the jing.
Come on.
The qi, supplementing the blood, right? So those issues have to do with fortifying the reproductive system. And in Chinese medicine, what we do is we burn moxibustion, which is a mugwort, and we burn it on different acupuncture points when we treat issues like that. And I was wanting those acupuncture points, like kidney 3, kidney 7, conception vessel 4, conception vessel 6, and I was wanting all those points. So I was realizing that it was the quantum moxibustion, in a sense, was fortifying that area. Plus, I noticed a dramatic increase in circulation. So I added it up 2 and 2, you know, how that was possible, you know.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
That's definitely an extra added benefit that I've noticed. Other people,
an added bonus. We've had somebody holding for a few minutes, and I see if you know. I'd like to open it up for questions, even if you guys can stay a little bit longer.
I'd like to,
John,
to have him tell you one more story.
Well, all right. It's Kathy. Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Can you tell him about your girlfriend's daughter that has the bouncy ball and what she does?
Oh yeah. So I have a beautiful, beautiful soulmate, and she's actually here with me in Miami now, and we're going together to spend some time into Sedona for 2 months. And she's got this beautiful daughter. My daughter's 25, and she's on the spectrum, extremely high. She's nonverbal. She's autistic, but she communicates on other realms. I'll tell you a little story about what happened privately after that in the future. And so she loves the wand, right? So she asks for it, like in the way that she communicates with her mom, and I'm learning how to communicate with her too, you know, so she asks for the wand. So she's got this bouncy ball that she hangs out on, right, sometimes. And you know those bouncy balls where you bounce up and down and bounce up. So what we do is we set the wand on a platform, a chair with some pillows or a shelf, depending on where we are. We've been traveling a lot lately. And so she was doing this when she was at home. And so she sits in front of it on the bouncy ball, and she bounces up and down. And so now the wand is pointing from, and she bounces, and she's tiny too. She's like 4'11" or 12", so she's tiny, but she's able to bounce pretty high and up and down, and she loves it. And we got the wand pointing at her spine. So now she's getting a treatment from, like, you know, down from the coccyx area all the way up to the mid back, you know, and she's just like digging in so much. And she loves the wand. She's just like, you know, she acts for it, you know, the way she acts for it. And I noticed that since we've been using on her, she's definitely much calmer, much more relaxed. And it's really, you know, and she's like learning too, so much too. I mean, people said she would never be able to learn anything, you know, because how severely autistic she was. But she's learning how to say yes and stuff like that. She knows how to say yes. She knows how to, and she's got these incredible signs that she uses that I mean, her mother is just absolutely amazing. Just been taking care of her nonstop for 25 years. I mean, I've learned, you know, what motherly love really means, you know. It's a beautiful experience, you know.
Thank you, pharmaceutical manufacturers, for situations just like this. Thank you very much.
Well, she was born this way, but I understand what you're saying, because a lot of children have become autistic from
it's the spike. The percentage spike is astronomical since they started administering this crap. Okay.
It's insane. It's insane. It's like 2,000% more or something.
Right. Well, listen, I hate to leave people on hold, and Sally's been there, called in, 30 minutes or more ago. So I think it's Sam, is it Sally in Alaska that's been holding? Is she still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hi, Sally. What part of Alaska are you in?
Oh, man, I've been behind him before, and I'll tell you what, it's like being stuck in Times Square at rush hour.
Sally, what part of Alaska are you in?
Anyway, I need Homer.
Oh, my most favorite place.
I know. We've talked about it before.
Yes,
and
I remember an
old friend that I haven't seen in decades bumped into me, and I handed him a card, and he started to giggle. And he lives just down the road from me. Anyway, I want to sell these things. My body's a wreck, and I don't need to go into it all. But I think this thing would really help me.
Sally, I'm going to hold. There's got a conversation going in the background. Sam, is that you or whatever? Okay, that's all right. Thank you, Sam. Go ahead, so I won't have a distraction.
Okay, well, anyway, I looked it up, and I want to make sure that I get Roger Sales' version, because I'll tell you what, there's already half a dozen lookalikes on the internet already.
There's knockoffs out there, and you got to be careful of them, because
I wanted to talk to the horse, hear it from the horse's mouth. And I also, after listening to, what's his name again that was just on?
Ricky.
You know, I love what he thinks. It's just being behind him is like having to go to the bathroom in a crowded subway car. <It's> like, I even had a cigarette. Anyway, I want to get his information because I want to send him money. Right, I love him, but he drives me nuts when I'm waiting to get on.
Anyway, I
want to get the right one.
I'm going to tell you and everybody else how to access this, okay? Go to my information website, and that is TheMatrixDocs, D-O-C-S, Matrix, M-A-T-R-I-X, Docs, D-O-C-S, not D-O-X,
wait
D-O-C-S.
Wait a minute, Matrix with an I-X at the end.
TheMatrixDocs.com.
Docs. D-O-C-S?
Correct. .com. Now, up on the top of the right of the webpage is a whole section that's dedicated to the ITR wand, okay? It's got an interview with John Scavola, whose name has come up here this evening a couple of times already. You can listen to that. Mr. Quantum, I think Ricky refers to him as. And there's other info there, and there's a marketing link there. And when you click on the marketing link, it's going to run you through three pages, okay? The first page asks you for some information, your name and your email. Then you're going to get verified through an email verification to the second page. And on that second page, there's a field that says remarks. And you need to be sure and put your name in that remarks field. When you order, there's an order button there, and you go to the third page, and you put your financial information in, and then an email will be sent to John and Kathy, and they process it and order your unit. When your charge has been run, you'll get an alert from PayPal. You don't have to open up a PayPal account. Please don't let that defer you, okay?
Nope.
You'll get, but they use PayPal to run the charges, okay? So you'll get an email from PayPal saying your emails, your charge has been run, and when the unit ships, you'll get an email alerting you the shipping of the unit, okay? So that's kind of the process.
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled, and I'm 75. I've lived in the community for 50 years. I came up to sing with a guy named Hobo Jim, who you should Google sometime for some good music, and he's dead now. just last year. But I've never fell in love with Homer, and I've got lots of old friends with a lot of problems.
I can sell the heck out of them. There's very few places more beautiful on the spot of this earth than Homer, Alaska. Okay,
and you had another
very famous resident up there, which you may or may not know, and I don't know what his disposition is these days, but he's the guy that used to say, "We'll leave the light on for you," Tom Beaudet.
Oh, Tom Beaudet, yes.
He lived in Homer.
Yeah, well, and his wife is here, too, and kids. And I met Ralph Winterrood 20 years ago when he came into Homer, and he had a thing set up talking about freedom of America in the late 80s, early 90s. And I videotaped him for him, and I'm sorry I didn't ask for a copy, because he turned me on to the missing 13th Amendment, which apparently is still sitting because of the way they just kind of expunged it, that it's still sitting out there ready to pull back in.
But see, they can't get rid, they don't have that power. They can't just sweep this stuff away. They got to veneer over it and hide it. That's the technique they always use, okay?
Well, he had a copy, and you could get a copy from him, and probably still can from his site if he's got something set up. I don't know what his family is.
Sally,
but I saw
found
a picture of the
some of our
thing.
Students. Some of our students found in old law books up in Connecticut, found an old law book, and the original 13th Amendment was in the Constitution in the old law book.
Yes, it was, and it took a long time because there was smallpox, there were Indian Wars. You know, it was like a hard time, but they finally had it ratified, and they just kind of expunged it and slid it away, and it became the Emancipation Proclamation, ironically.
Right, right.
But I saw a picture of it, and I tried to get in. I'm from Morristown, New Jersey. I'm an 11th generation. I had family dying before this place was called anything but the colonies, you know, for our freedom.
Right.
So I'm really pissed about all this stuff. And
yeah,
I tried to
be.
Get into
you
the Morristown Library. I tried to get into the Morristown Library that has a very old library in the basement. And they had a, before I got home to Morristown for a visit, they had a natural gas explosion in the road in front of them. And it really blew them apart underneath. And then they were closed when I got there. So I never got to go in and find it. But I'm sure they have it. You know, because they're really historically minded.
Hey, Roger.
I grew
Roger.
Up next-
yeah, John.
Well, listen, if we're going to be doing this, we're going to have to get going. I got to get back to my meeting.
Yeah.
And we're going to be on your show tomorrow morning, Roger.
Okay. Well, listen, Roger. Sally, we're going to have Ricky on our platform tomorrow too, in the second half, I think. And so you're welcome to listen then on Eurofolk Radio.
I listen every day, even when I'm outside working.
Aren't you the sweetest?
Hey, if you ever get up here and this goes to anybody up there, you look me up.
I will, sweetie. I love Homer, Alaska.
Oh, well, you're welcome here.
Okay, thank you, sweetie. You call us back. Go over the webpage. If you got any problems with that, you contact us, okay?
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sally. I don't know. We didn't put out a call for phone calls. I don't think there's anybody else in line here. John, what's your time schedule? And we'll wrap up and...
We were coming on for an hour, and
you were late. You were late.
Late.
So we had you were a couple minutes late.
Well, you and Sherry were talking, so we didn't want to butt into it. You know, we were
okay. All right.
Anyway,
whatever.
We're going to do it tomorrow morning, and Ricky's going to start all over again.
All right, Ricky, you're just going to repeat everything. Nice to meet you, Ricky, and your story is incredible and very very exciting.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
you. Tomorrow morning.
Yes,
yeah,
that's correct.
It's extremely incredible to meet you and be on this show. I mean, literally, I mean, I'm like, it's surreal for me. I mean, you know, 9 months ago, I was like, you know, it's insane, you know, what's happened to me, you know. So, and it's all from leading with passion and my heart and trying to help people. And I know they say you help as many people as you can. And you know, that's the secret to life. You got to help people. That's why we're here, to help people. You know, so nothing feels better than being able to help people.
Well, you know, I was in marketing most of my life in one way, shape, form, or another, and there was an old marketing trainer named Tom Hopkins, who I watched some of his videos when I was in my 20s, okay? And I remember a statement. I've applied it the whole rest of my life. It's part of the reasons of the successes I've had, okay? And that is, the only way to get what you want is to help enough other people get what they want.
Yep, yeah, I believe it.
That's very true right there, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've pretty much worked 16 hours a day for the last 9 months trying to do that, help people get what they want, and it's paid off extremely well. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.
Okay, Ricky. Nice to meet you. Thank you for the commentary and your story and your straightforwardness and your honesty. And we'll see you tomorrow and look forward to it. Okay.
Sounds great. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay, John Caffey. We didn't hear much out of you, but I know you're there, and thanks a lot. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm just like a fly on the wall. Something in all that today. It was a good show.
Yep.
Thank you. He's covered all points, I think.
So, okay, all my people are leaving you guys. Come on, I got to get out of here.
Oh, well, there go my all people. Right. I must rush after them, for I'm their leader. Go ahead, John.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Ciao, ciao.
Take care.
Okay. Okay, the ITERA hour is hour and 15 minutes is over, so we can take the remainder of the show. And I'd like to open up the calls to make that announcement. If anybody wants to call in, you're welcome to 512-248-8252. Most of you probably have that number memorized. So if you got any questions or comments, please feel free. Love to meet you and talk to you if you're a first-time caller. The other things I was talking about earlier in the show that I wanted to delve into a little bit, though, are somewhat new on my radar and extremely important. It's just that my concentration for so many years has been on getting the system understood and to a point where we can easily and simply explain it to people on what they've done to us and how to get out of it. And so that's where my focus was. I don't have any children, so I didn't have any concerns about children, and I hadn't voted since I didn't even vote in Bush Gore. And I think the last election I voted on was before that. So the electoral process, knowing it's kind of political theater, didn't blow my dress up too much. But that's kind of, both of those areas have changed in my perspective and how I look at things in light of our information through my quote-unquote rose-colored freedom glasses, if you will. And I guess the first one is the minor children issue. And I never really even had a question about it, quite honestly, dealing with people that are of majority and of age to do this stuff and not considering that. But what really came on my radar here was this situation. We've talked about it here several months ago, 5-6 months ago, maybe earlier this year out in Idaho with baby Cyrus and a fine, fine, upstanding Christian patriotic family and their child from one of the grandfather's daughters getting literally abducted by these bastards at CPS and coming into the whole picture and taking the child away and abusing the mother and abusing the family and everything. Many of you are familiar with that story or some aspects of it. And it hit me back then that, you know, if they would have known, if I could have gotten to them, hell, I'm trying to get to everybody. Just is difficult sledding. It's hard sledding here, as many of you that are trying to proffer this information understand, okay? But if we could have gotten to the grandfather with this information, I guarantee he'd have been receptive to it because he's that minded a person looking for answers. But if they could have followed this and filed affidavits, and the mother, and I don't remember her name, would have filed one and filed one with the mother and the father for the minor children, that would have never happened because the babies are under, even if the parents have filed an affidavit and haven't filed an affidavit for their minor children, the children are still under the presumption. They're under the presumption that they've been assigned a birthright citizenship and have been in a condition of voluntary servitude since birth. And that's what gives CPS and all these other creeps the jurisdictional basis to come after and start grabbing these kids. Okay? So what's further come into the picture here, and I don't know if Sam's going to run a spot break on us here. I don't want to get too deep into it and have that little bit of interruption because it loses people's train of thought, including mine. But the couple of things, well, there you go right there. Thank you, Sam. Right on cue. We'll pick it up in the next little segment and finish up the hour with this stuff. And if you want to call in, ask a question or comment, feel free. See you in a minute.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
OPEC Plus cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. The oil-producing nations of OPEC Plus announced that they are cutting oil outputs by 2 million barrels a day. Senator Joe Manchin said the move shows that the U.S. must emphasize American energy independence and security. Seems like I've heard that before. In response to the output cut, the Biden administration announced the release of 10 million more barrels from the nation's strategic petroleum reserves. Gee, that will cover the shortfall for a whole 5 days. Then what? Biden has already drained the reserves to their lowest point in decades. Biden created this problem by forcing his green agenda and is using the nation's strategic reserves as his party's campaign checkbook to attempt to bring gas prices down before next month's elections. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
All righty, Sam. Pipe it down. We love to change the world. We're trying. I'm pedaling just as hard as I can pedal. Okay. We're talking about minor children and stuff and the baby Cyrus incident there for the break. And I'm going to pick it up and add some new layers to the cake here. Sam, tell him I'll be with him in just a second. Okay. I'll add a couple of new layers to the cake. And they're coming out of the glorious state of California, which if it, I don't know if it can go any more wacko than this. Quite frankly, I mean, you know, it's always been referred to. My daddy used to call it in the 60s, the land of fruits and nuts. Well, it's graduated from that. OK, to the point of here recently, Gavin Newsom signed a piece of legislation that was generated by that legislature of wackos out there. And they took the existing legislation and they changed prenatal to postnatal. Now, Gavin Newsom has signed this bill, folks. OK. Where now a mother up to 28 days after the birth of her child can murder that child legally by the laws of California. And no matter what is the cause of death, if that child is brought into the hospital within those 28 days, they cannot investigate the death. So basically, California has legalized murder for mothers. Okay, so that's one element. Now, the other element there is that, and I saw this wacky woman interviewed. Probably some of you have seen this, too. I don't remember her name. I don't want to know her name. She's just a wacko, okay? But she's in charge of the bureaucratic office out there in California, where any state in the union, they passed another law. Gavin Newsom signed it. Any state in the union, if the children are having a disagreement with the parent, the minor children are having a disagreement with their parents about a sex change situation, the state of California can override parental rights. They can literally override in the legislation parental rights, and California can pay to have that child brought out there. They pay for the whole procedure for hormones or willy whackers or breast detachment or whatever. They put them up, they feed them, they pay for everything, and they take your children away, folks. And they're putting satellite offices out around the country. And she was very, very proud to say in the little snippet I saw of this crazy bitch that they're putting these offices particularly in conservative areas. And the one she named, Huntsville, Alabama. So Huntsville, Alabama now has a satellite office from the state of California where they can come in and override your parental rights. Bullshit high in transit. Okay? And the only reason is because your children, if they haven't had this affidavit filed by you, your minor children are still under the presumption that they're property, and that's the basis of this law they passed in California. That's what's going on, okay, with both of those. So both of those elements, or we hadn't got to the other one yet, but the one on your minor children has come into the real forefront of my radar, and I see the absolute total importance of it and the critical nature of it in some instances, literally, okay? To take your children out of the grasp of the beast. And from an interview, another interview with a lady that was talking to somebody in the upper echelons of these UN meetings where you have to go through three levels of security clearance just to get in the meeting. And she's asking her, Laura was her first name, and I get her confused with Loomer. It's not Loomer, it's somebody else. Anyway, so she's asking the person, she's relating this story. I'm sure many of you have seen this clip, okay? She's relating the story, and she says, but why do they go after the children? And the guy says, you got to understand, they don't look at things the way you do. Really? Yeah, like slavery, murder, thievery, all the rest of their crimes against humanity. Okay? And he said the reason that they go after children is because their big enemy is God. And they consider children to be the closest to God, and that's why they go after them. So if any of this doesn't register with you folks that have minor children, you better go back and listen to the replay. Okay, because this is important, and it gets more important, critically important by the day. So for all the reasons that it brought it to my radar screen, I'm hoping I can bring it to your radar screen. Okay, now the other is about affecting change. And the affecting of the change is just what we've got in front of us on Tuesday are these elections. Now, what these goons have done with this little scam and scheme that they've put on us, is that they've set up what real I call political theater. That's all it is. It's political theater. And why do I say that? I say that because I know a little bit about the law, okay? And I know under the great heading of law of rights, you got two subdivisions. One, civil rights, the rights you have with other people in the society, and the other is political rights, your right to run for office, to vote, et cetera, et cetera. Under this scheme, you only get one side of that. You only get civil rights. You don't ever hear anybody talking about political rights, do you? The reason is you don't have them. And that's why they call voting a franchise, because they've got to give you permission because you don't have those political rights to participate in their political theater so that you think everything's all right here in the Wizard of Oz land, okay? But it's not. And to prove that, you can go back to the late Representative Jim Traficant from Youngstown, Ohio, former sheriff of that county. Okay. When he got elected to Congress, it's in the congressional record. Ladies and gentlemen of Congress, we're nothing but trustees presiding over the largest bankruptcy in the history of the world. Maybe we can change the world. We'll talk about it on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Alrighty. Sam, my man, pot down the music. Let's get back to the meat of the matter here. I don't know about, I want my hooks clean and sharpened all the time. I don't know about you guys. So we were talking here before the break there about political theater and how the situation they've got us in, where you don't have political rights under the 14th Amendment. They got to give you permission to participate in their political theater. You think that you're hiring representatives, hiring, electing representatives by the people to go up there and represent you. And yeah, they make laws. But the problem is that what goes on underneath, you're only seeing the top of the iceberg there, the top 10%, because then it goes through their sausage factory. You know, the sausage factory of the organic statutes at large, then they bring it over to the United States Code, and they mess with it there most of the time, and then they bring it down here into the real government, the administrative state. all these 500 plus administrative agencies out there where these unelected bureaucrats reevaluate the legislation your representatives passed that you think applies, and now they promulgate a regulation which many times is 180 degrees in the opposite intent of the original legislation. This is where the power is. This is the deep state that Trump couldn't get rid of. This is the deep state, is the administrative state of unelected bureaucrats that you can't hardly, for almost any reason under the sun, get rid of, because they got them protected with unions and everything and all these fat pensions. Okay, so what we do is remove ourselves from the authority of the administrative state, and they recognize it at this point. Okay, so how does this apply to what I was going to talk about? Sam, we got somebody waiting on hold, don't we? Didn't they? Well, they should call back in, because, you know, I mean, I'm like a guy, I can, like a guy that took X-lax and hiccuped. I can get diarrhea of the mouth here real easy. Okay, so. Okay, well, maybe Chief will call back in. If not, maybe you other folks want to call in. But I'm going to pontificate here for a minute, because this is important, all right? I mean, man, this is something I had never considered. All of a sudden, it comes onto the front of your radar. You start doing a little pensando, as they say in Spanish, thinking about it. And I go, holy smokes, this is really important. This is a way we can take the offense against the beast in the political arena. Okay, where we've never been able to really participate before because we've never had political rights. When you file that affidavit, you do an in-run around that bankruptcy, and you gain back those political rights, and you gain back your creator-given rights, and you gain back your constitutional protections. Okay, now we got political rights. So what do you do now in the voting process? And all this was brought about by one of my newer students, honestly, you know, and when this information crosses the right person's path, it totally takes over your life. I've seen it happen with me. I've seen it happen with a number of other people, so I know it happens, okay? And this guy's down in Georgia. His name's Ron, and he got really, really industrious when he found this out. It shocked him like it does most people. He went in and verified everything. He spent a couple of months studying. He got command of the information, and so now he's getting overt. Okay, so we got an upcoming election. He's down in Spalding County, Georgia, which between Atlanta and Macon. Okay, and so Ron goes into the supervisor of elections office there in Spalding County with his affidavit, and he presents the, of course, now it's bad timing because we're very close to this critical midterm in many respects, and so it's hard to get their full attention. Okay, and so he goes in, he presents his affidavit, and he informs the lady, which we instruct people to do. I've done it in the past, but I've just never delved into it before. Okay, so now it's time to delve into it, because this becomes critically important. So he goes into the supervisor of elections in his county, presents her with the affidavit, says, how do I vote in the upcoming election? Because I'm not a resident anymore, and I'm not a citizen of the United States, so I can't be a voter, and I want my vote to count, and here's my actual affidavit of what's going on, and I'm this thing you've got labeled as a national. How do I register? Well, she goes, well, I don't know. So they end up sending an email to the Secretary of State of Georgia, a rascal named Raffensperger, who's an outright damn traitor crook, okay, as we evidenced himself and showed himself in the last election up there in Fulton and DeKalb counties, okay? And so immediately, I mean, he said it was incredible. You know how hard it is to get bureaucrats to respond? Well, they sent this email in, and the head of elections of the state of Georgia wrote him back in 30 minutes. He said, oh, yeah, no problem. As long as you're a resident of Spalding County, you can participate in the upcoming election. And Ron tells us about that. First of all, I was amazed they responded back so quickly. And secondly, it opens up some new doors. You know, we can hold people's feet to the fire now. Okay, because we got the truth, and we got it documented by their rules, all right? Sam, I'll get to him in just a second, okay? And so now he rewrites the guy in charge of elections of the Secretary of State's office, and he goes, well, here's my affidavit. I'm not a resident, but I do domicile in Spalding County. What do I do? And you know the funniest thing? That was about 2 weeks ago. He hadn't got an answer back yet. So the idea here is to take the people that want to do this. Of course, everything's got to be voluntary, right? That's what we've learned. So the people that want to press the envelope here, go into your local supervisor of elections office after Tuesday, let the dust settle a little bit, but think in 2 years down the road. Okay, and start pressing the envelope on changing your voter category from a citizen of the United States voter to a national elector. Now you're in the electoral college. Can you imagine if enough of us around the country went in and pressed the envelope on this and got over it classified and categorized as electors for the next presidential election? Just let that noodle in your mind for a little bit, because that's one of the latest little thrusts, if you will, that we're on over there at the Radio Ranch and what we do around here, the minor children's affidavit, and going and starting holding the people's feet to the fire on becoming electors instead of slave voters. Sam, who we got there holding on the line, buddy? Fred in Michigan. Hey, Fred, thanks for calling back in, man.
Yeah, you know, there's a fella on YouTube, a young guy, who has a tutorial on, I'm just going to say American National.
Is his name Presley?
Let's see, I don't know the guy's name. He's a young guy. He's extremely eloquent.
Articulate.
Okay, and I've heard it only once. Okay, but I'm looking at. I texted this to a few people. Okay, because I'm with you, brother. What you just said about a national electoral? Oh yeah, baby, that's where the action is, big time.
You want to throw a hitch in these folks' little scam giddy up? Change to an elector instead of a voter, buddy. Now they got real problems.
And you know what? I have been contemplating that reality, the electoral process, from the days that I was a precinct delegate in the Republican Party, because everyone I knew was Republican. I grew up with families who were physicians, lawyers, engineers, etc. And anyway, that's how it all happened. And I remember this one guy, Kelly. His dad and his uncle had a big time Wall Street, brokerage operation, and he was a big time operative in the state of Michigan Republican Party. And I several times pursued this because he was the electoral operative for this district, and I pursued this numerous times. He totally refused to give me any intelligence on how I could become an electoral entity. So here it is. All right, and this guy, it goes by U.S. national / state citizen, and then it goes comprehensive something. It's really an amazing expose. Okay, and then I came upon a guy who, have you ever come across a guy by the name of Mark Emery, Lighthouse Law Club?
I don't think so. It doesn't really ring a bell. There's a lot of people out there, teaching what they think's correct.
Well, he's got, he's a big advocate of American national state citizen. And I came upon this presentation called Admiralty Black's Law Equals Fraud. Now, this presentation, my friend, provides astonishingly, liberatingly empowering intel data regarding. Let me finish.
Okay,
status, standing, and agency. Status, right. Standing, and he explains it all, and he gives real world a real world proceeding where he, this guy is absolutely masterful in conquering the courtroom, legalized fraud, extortion, racketeering operative process. I mean, you have a promise to go and hear this sometime. It's a tutorial for everybody who is pursuing the national, or as I say, American national status. It's from my perspective, Roger. It's I think super critical that people have a very well established foundation of understanding.
You got to have. If you don't have command of the information, you don't have any freedom. Your freedom's in learning and having command of the information. But I'm going to stop you for just a second, Fred. Hold on. I disagree with the guy you're talking about. This is not admiralty law. You're under the merchant law. And the way I can prove it to you, very simply, is you see, law is composed of three elements, rights, duties, and remedies.
Equity. It's admiralty equity, which equals merchant law.
No, it's not. Admiralty is not merchant law. Sorry. Okay, merchant law is the Babylon.
Law of the Fred, high seas. It's law
of
the high seas.
Well, that's right, but I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. The only remedy in admiralty law is prize, P-R-I-Z-E. That means, because it's nothing but martial law on the sea, and that means I kick your ass and I take your stuff. There's no procedure. These people are not using that. They're using the remedy of lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure. Those are self-help remedies, and the only body of law they've ever been available in is the merchant law, the law of merchant. This is what we're under. It's not admiralty. They're wrong.
He explains bonds. He explains how. See, I can't do it justice because I have not mastered that knowledge yet. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. If there's anybody who's captivated as I have been all my life, the legal system.
Right.
Okay,
right.
How can they force me into an unrevealed statutory color of law, constructive trust, adhesion contract without any disclosure?
You're not in the trust. It is a silent contract. And, Fred, guess what? Every time they've ever asked you your whole life, you agreed with them and told them and gave them permission to do it. That's how they're doing it.
Well, this is, it's voluntary, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, you answered the two questions. Are you a citizen of the United States? Are you a resident? Whenever you were asked those your whole life, how'd you answer them?
Yeah, of course.
And you signed something, too.
And I asked them.
You gave them permission to do this to you.
I even asked them at the bank, I said, show me the legally binding definition of U.S. citizenship. Nobody could do that.
Well, then, they can't.
Yeah, I know. Okay, one last thing, Roger. This guy, David Merrill, he has a present. He successfully sued the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee as a law student at George Washington University. I think it was 1978. And I want you to see it. It's on YouTube. Federal Reserve Act 1913, remedy in law. Federal Reserve Act 1913, remedy in law. Let me tell you, my friend, he takes it all the way back to the Judiciary Act 1789, the Savings to Suitors Clause, and he brings it up to date with the Federal Reserve Act Section 16, which is codified in Title 12, United States Code Section 411. And what it's all about, my friend, and he gives real-world examples of people who have already done this, redeeming the elastic currency, FRNs, for the inelastic United States notes currency, which ceased to be produced on the 21st of January, 1971, because he said, well, U.S. Treasury said, nobody is demanding, nor are they exchanging FRNs for lawful money, United States Treasury notes currency. So they quit producing it. But he said, it's still in circulation. We can still exchange. It's on the. It's in the code. It's
doesn't surprise me a bit. Doesn't surprise me a bit. I used to have a number of U.S. notes, and you got U.S. notes, and then you had with a you had silver certificates with a blue indicia. United States notes, if I remember correctly, had a red indicia, and the Federal Reserve notes have a green indicia that we're under now. So you can really just look for the color on the bill if you want to spot them, and they come out occasionally. People find them in a drawer and they spend them, you know. As soon as they can get the Federal Reserve and they see them, they yank them out of circulation.
But John Kennedy, remember, executive order?
I remember. Okay. I think they stopped printing them was after they murdered him.
Of course. It was the 21st of January, 71, according to David Merrill, who is a constitutional a lawyer. And he's all about empowering the common man and woman. And he gives real-world examples of people who were doing it in Colorado and elsewhere. Right. I mean, this is liberating, man. And he explains that when the Federal Reserve Act kicked in, they had a 20-year deadline on the charter. Okay, so the people who
hold it, Fred. I'm sorry, we got a spot coming up. I got other callers and. You're going to skip the break, Sam? Okay. Fred, wrap it up. I got two other callers. I don't want to leave them hanging out to dry, okay?
No, I just want to encourage people to go watch that whenever they can. Federal Reserve Act 1913, Remedy and Law on YouTube, okay?
All righty. Well, the Federal Reserve Act wouldn't be there if we weren't slaves for them to collateralize our future income and extract it with the IRS. So, Fred, thanks for calling. Good information. Okay. I'm going to go to these other callers. I'll see you next time. Who's next, Sam? Steve in Alaska. And two Alaska callers out of three or four. Man, that's good. You guys are batting about 50% up there.
Yeah, well, I know you're short on time, so I'm trying to make this quick and direct to the point. I support everything you're doing. I like this National of United States focus, but when I read the code on that 8 U.S.C. 1101, they're going on to permanent allegiance to the United States, and the United
That's an American Samoan and Swains Islander. There's all kinds of confusing stuff in here by the way they've hidden national behind the American Samoans. You go to 1101 there in Title 8, there's a definition of national. Have you seen that? Are you reading that?
Yep.
Okay. It says a national is a person born in American Samoa, Swains Island, or the outlying territories. Now, there's American Samoa and Swains Island right there in the code. They've got a specific political status because they do not have birthright citizenship, and they're termed a non-citizen national. So why didn't that say in the code a non-citizen national is someone born in American Samoa, Swains Island, and the outlying territories? Tell me that.
Well, I'm just reading it.
I know, and if you don't understand this stuff, you can read till you're blue in the face, and you're never going to understand what they're saying.
I think I know how to read a definition. So,
all right. Well, if you do, then you'd answer my question. Why didn't they say a non-citizen national is someone born in American Samoa, Swains Island, or the outlying territories? Why didn't they put that in there? Because that's much more exact. Why didn't they frame it like that?
Okay. So why don't
Because the outlying territories... Because the outlying territories are the states, and they couldn't put a non-citizen national and bait you with American Samoa and Swains Island because they're hiding the states under the term outlying territories. That's the kind of stuff, if you don't know what you're reading, you'll never get this out of it. That's why our community's been so unsuccessful for so many decades. Okay? So, anyway...
What's the actual outcome of... these affidavits or declaration of political...
Well, you remove yourself from the jurisdiction of the federal government and the administrative state. With the exceptions of two obscure sections of the Internal Revenue Code, 871B and 877B, the federal government's administrative state has no more authority or jurisdiction over you. That's what happens.
Where's the proof?
12 years
of
me helping
people. Everybody talk about it.
Well, if you let me... Well, I'm trying to tell you and you won't let me tell you. Okay. I've been helping people
do
this.
I called in. I haven't been able to speak one iota yet, so go ahead.
No, you did speak iota. You read out your pit, and I went back and corrected you and show you how you didn't understand what you were reading. Okay? The point and the proof of the pudding is I've been helping people do this for 12 years. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I got no idea how many people have filed this paperwork, okay? But I do know that if anybody had any backlash in their lives because they'd done this, they'd get a hold of me for answers, okay? And in 12 years, not one person ever has called me with a situation come up in their life because they did this. It's voluntary. If you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, that's okay too, okay? It's your freedom.
Yes, sir. You've said your piece. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next, Sam. Oh, Murr, right at the tail end of the show. Hey, Murr.
Hey, Roger. And we got a couple little snippy puppies there.
Yeah, well, it's just people that don't understand. They haven't got grasp of the information. They're trying to read through all the obfuscation and the defenses that these people have put up with confusing language and opposite definitions, and they're trying to find answers, and they're not going to do it. He said a national owes total allegiance to the U.S. Well, what they've done there is they dropped non-citizen off of it because that's American Samoan. They're a federal territory. Hell yes, they owe complete allegiance to the U.S. But if you'll look a little bit further up on that certificate of non-citizen nationality, you'll see a statement from the Nationality Act of 1940, which says a national owes total allegiance to a small s state. Protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. There's your state citizen right there. But if you don't know that information behind it, you can read over that 1,000 times and you're not going to know what it's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people just need to be self-responsible first.
Well,
and know
see, they want to go. They want to go read in a code where it says you're a U.S. national. We've been trying to hide this from you, but you found us out. And they're never going to ask forgiveness. Of course,
okay?
They're not going to.
Yeah. So self-responsibility is most important, whatever you choose to do. But sending this affidavit to the Secretary of State, okay, not of your
of
state.
Of the United States.
Exactly. So people get a little confused with the state citizen and all this malarkey, these many, many pages and all this other stuff. It's very simple. And then you choose how you want to use it. You don't have to do everything or anything else, actually. You know?
Nope.
So you can get out of IRS. You can do whatever you need to do with it. You can figure it out. You know, I found I never really intended to do it. But I found I feel much better that I did, but that I needed to use it for something, okay? And it has helped me.
Well, it's just like muscles. If you don't use muscles, they atrophy. We've lost our freedom. You got to go back in and start working your freedom muscles, and learning this information and understanding it is your first step.
And people got to realize, too, yeah, it goes all the way back to the beginning of the country and 1913, but 1933 as Traficant, put into the congressional record on March 17, 1993. We've been bankrupt since 33. That changes everything. Go read
sure
about
does.
That.
Yep.
Go read about
and that's
that.
Why Department of Treasury and Department of Justice are under the International Monetary Fund in a condition of bankruptcy. That's why you can have Moshe Garfunkel up there pulling all this crap he's pulling. He's not working for the U.S. He works for the International Monetary Fund.
Mm-hmm. And dear lady that used to have a show on RBN, Al Whitney, she went by, Allison was her name, and Anti-Corruption Society is where you can find that file about the bankruptcy of the United States. That was her site.
Yep.
Someone's kindly kept it up.
Yep. Okay. Well, Murr, listen, I'll see you tomorrow. Let me see. I got just a minute left.
Oops,
I may not
count.
Even have that. Well, I don't even have that. There's a whistler right there. So thank you, Murr, for calling in. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, all the folks, Sally and Sherry. Hope you enjoyed and got something out of Ricky with us this evening. And he'll be back on my show tomorrow if you want to hear more. I'll be back with you next week. Adios. See you later. Have a good night.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne fighter.